Alrighty, another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. As we always do, let's pour some drip coffee, sip drip on something coffee. Tasty, or some batchy. Sorry, that's
wow,
that's bad vocab. Wow,
tell me, how many ways can you drip a coffee?
Can you drip a coffee?
Yeah, like V60 drip, Kalita drip, AeroPress drip.
You know
drip.
What I've noticed, actually, speaking of that? I've been, this could be just like a really bad thing that I do, but whenever I walk into a cafe, like maybe some place that's new, I don't know why I've gotten into the habit of saying, hey, like, what do you guys have on filter?
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
No.
Because every time I've asked that, people have just given me like, what they have on drip, on batch.
Wow. I've never assumed that that's what people would think.
But they all, that's always the case. Like literally almost every cafe that I've walked,
say filter or do you say filtered coffee?
I say just what's on filter. What do you guys have on filter? Is that bad? Maybe I've created my own kind of verbiage.
No, I think that is the way it is because maybe I'm wrong, but maybe folks rotate batch brew more than they rotate their pour over coffee, or their pour over coffee may be like a monthly or a quarterly staple of a coffee. You know, like this month we have the Ethiopia Garo. It doesn't rotate, but the batch brew maybe rotates more.
But the weird thing is,
I don't know.
They'll give me their batch brew, and then I'll realize that they're giving me, because they'll like turn around, look at the, you know, the batch dispenser or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, oh, do you guys do pour overs? What do you guys, they're like, oh yeah, of course we have this coffee.
Oh, I don't know.
And I'm like, puzzled. Like this happened to me when I was in Kansas multiple times. And I was like, I feel so weird.
All of that is kind of weird. It's like filter coffee. Yeah, like a portafilter coffee. Do you
want a
V60 filter coffee, a batch brew filter coffee? They all have filters. Like, it's not like you're going to order a cupping. Or, I mean, you could order a French press. I don't know.
I mean, imagine you walk into a cafe.
And like, a French press is a filter.
Can I just get a cupping of all your guys' offerings right now?
Just set me up a cupping.
And you're just sitting there just...
What you could design a cafe maybe around that model.
That'd be fun, actually.
You have a professional cupper on site, and just someone orders a cupping. It's like
they set up a $50
order.
They have a timer.
Yeah,
set up a for yep, you everything.
Yep, dude. That's like a tasting room. That's fun. That would be fun. Yeah.
Speaking of which, we need to host a cupping sometime soon.
Dude, we can do that. We should. That'd be fun.
I think it'd be cool.
Do you like a home cafe, that already existed. Dang. Ahead of the time.
Yeah. That's true. Wow.
Ahead of the time. Big shout out to Jason Stevenson.
Let's go.
Being ahead of the time.
We're doing home cuppings for those who, most of you probably don't know. One of our mutual friends, he set up a home cupping experience. And people would show up from the community and we'd cup coffees and talk about the coffees. Yeah. That was legit.
That was fun.
Little did you know that was ahead of their
That was ahead of the time. Powerful.
Yeah. Anyways, alrighty. Let's see what's on batch. Oh dude, it's wild on the nose. Why is it so cold?
We said that last time too. Dude, it's not a thermal carafe. It's a glass carafe.
It doesn't matter. We've had some piping hot batches on
piping
the pod.
Piping hot. Mark, you call everything that's piping hot that's over 120 degrees. Like, oh, I just burned my palate. I'm like, Mark, I just scorched
my taste buds on last cupping, and I felt like I had a scar on that small spot that I was scorched by. I had to recover
from
that.
You're so soft. It's nice. It's fine.
Yeah, it's. I think it's fine. Yeah.
I feel like I have to keep my mouth shut because I drink too much of this coffee.
But I think this is a different one, right? Does that mean anything?
I have it from what I'm tasting.
This is even weird for me to ask that question because I'm like, I'm supposed to know these things as a roaster.
Wild.
I don't know.
I mean, I think Kyle Ramage or, you know, Lem probably listen to the pod. They should chime in. I want to know what Y05 means.
Yeah.
Y05. Need Kyle or Lem to chime in. Chime in the comment section. DM us.
True. Speaking of which, this is a... this is a Diego Bermudez thermal shock, Y05 thermal shock. I don't know if that's just like a fancy word for his original thermal shock, or if this is like a modded thermal shock. But it says Y05 thermal shock, and then in the process it just says thermal shock. So I don't know if that's maybe a certain kind, or I don't know. But that being said, it very much so tastes like a classic Diego Bermudez.
Mm-hmm.
Still has a lot of the same qualities. I'm not sure why, but it tastes like very big on the booziness. Like, it definitely tastes like it has like a little bit more process on it than some of the other thermal shocks, but they're processed by the same producer, so I don't think that's even the right thing to say. I don't know.
I don't know.
But that,
like, fruit cocktail, the flavor note on there is like right on. It's just a lot of fruit, a lot of acidity in this coffee. This coffee is bright. It tastes like it's fairly light in the roast.
Yeah.
I mean, color wise, it just looks like it looks light, but I don't know.
But not ridiculously.
Not ridiculously. Light. No. This isn't like a, you know, fairly light in color.
But it doesn't look like deadly white. I mean, deadly light, not white, light. But that being said, I was in Kansas City. This is already a while ago now. Time is flying by. And some folks from, was that Black and White? Yeah, Black and White were there, and they were handing out some samples. So I saw Diego's name on there. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll snag.
Oh, geez. Oh,
whoa, Surge. Isn't that precious scan. Cargo? I know. What are you wasting?
QR code. I got excited. I feel like I haven't done. Oh, wow. What do we have here? We have a lot of info on the coffee. For info on coffee drops, some YouTube highlights. Let's see. Nope. I just kind of took me to their link tree.
Mm-hmm.
Not directly to the coffee. Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, but it's very fruit forward, mm-hmm. very intense. Classic Diego. Really wild, of course.
Yeah.
And we've had him
cut. Nothing like a Diego coffee. It stands out
like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
For sure.
In a good way.
Yeah. Speaking of fruity coffees, what?
It's fruity. I was just agreeing with nice little taste.
Okay. Speaking of fruity coffees, listen, on this episode of the Coffee Restaurant Obsessions podcast, we're just going to go through some very interesting, I guess, a few different things that have hit the coffee world recently. And listen, this one, I'm personally... Okay, maybe not this. Maybe this is a stretch to say this is what I'm most excited about out of the entire podcast. But let's just say it's holding up there.
Mm-hmm.
And news came out, friends, that Alaska Airlines has officially dropped Starbucks to go and serve Stumptown coffee roasters. As a frequent traveler. I unfortunately don't have my frequent travel number, and I don't even know what that is, a frequent travel number, but I feel like every time when I go buy my ticket, I feel like I should have one, and I'm like, am I even a frequent traveler if I don't have the number?
I don't know why you don't. You should.
I know. Well, anyways, this makes me happy that Alaska now is dropping Starbucks and is going to be serving Stumptown on the plane. Listen, folks, brewing AirPress on the plane is not an easy task, listen. No. And I'm happy that I'm not gonna need to go do that anymore. because we have some Stumptown. And before you guys, you know, I get it. You guys are drinking your geishas at home. Chill out. Hold your horses. But listen, I think that coffee actually is going to be tasting pretty decently on Alaska Airlines from this day forward with Stumptown. I think it's going to be a little better than Starbucks.
I mean, I just found out that they were brewing Pike's Place. The problem is, it never, to me, personal opinion here, never tasted like Pike's Place. Like, I, back in the day, my early times, I was a big Pike Place drinker. I know what a good cup of Pike's Place tastes like. Airplane coffee never did it justice. So, It could, I don't know if it's brew ratios, if it's elevation gain. I don't know what it was, but it always tasted, airplane coffee in general, always tasted very bitter and very weak, unfortunately. I remember the last time I had it on my last trip, and it was just not bearable. Yeah. It was hard to drink.
It kind of reminds me of like diner coffee.
And this, no. Worse. Way worse. I can down some diner.
No,
I'll get a cup of coffee at Applebee's, man.
No. That's terrible. That's against the rules.
Probably. Listen,
that's against the rules. Yeah. Applebee's of all places, please. That sounds like a death sentence right there. But I will say, no, it's like the ironic thing about diner coffee, just a little rabbit trail. The ironic thing about diner coffee is you have these... You know, that classic, you know, man drinking a good cup of Joe. But for some reason, you know, they usually want their coffee bold, but they'll go to the diner to order a black coffee that's usually watered down and tastes weak. And then they'll add creamer in there. Like, listen, I just don't get the logic.
That's exactly why I say airplane coffee doesn't do Pike's Place justice, because Pike's Place is pretty bold.
I just don't understand. Listen, if you're after a bold flavor, then let's make this thing bold. Let's put something in there. Yeah,
bold.
So anyways, folks. I'll
definitely exchange that kind of boldness for some Stumpies, dude.
Yeah. I'm pumped. I just want to go buy some. I want to go buy an Alaska airline right now. Find the cheapest ticket and just fly just because I want to get a coffee. Literally wait in the airport and fly back for another one.
That'll be your most expensive cup of coffee.
That'll be more than the brown bear.
Or the whatever. Geisha. Yeah.
Well, I'm reading right now at the CNN site. And listen, I'm trying to be optimistic. I clicked on a CNN article.
Dude, cite your sources.
I'm going to be honest. I think they're misleading again. Again, folks, listen. This is straight out of the article. It says, to combat those effects. It's talking about the effects of tasting coffee and food at high elevation, which is actually very interesting. How it reduces the ability of the olfactory receptors.
Olfactory?
No. What is it? Okay, anyways. It's the ability to smell.
Yeah.
And then it says, to combat those effects, Alaska turned to Stumptown's Holler Mountain in medium dark blend for the base, then infused it with punchier notes that taste like marshmallows, brown butter, and toffee, as well as a delicate hint of citrus oils and cherry essence. Listen, then infused it with punchier notes. Do you think they dropped an anaerobic natural in there, or do you think they actually infused? Do you think it's a flavor infused coffee?
Inoculated, cultured.
Do you think it's cultured?
Marshmallows.
How do you make sense?
Is it infused? Very misleading. That's like a flavored, like when I hear that, when I read that, I'm thinking of like post-roast flavored coffee, you know, like those oils. That's what I think. Especially when they said citrus oil, like what is that? An essential oil? It's like a few drips in your drum. Dude.
Honestly, but listen. The quote unquote delicate hint of citrus oils and cherry essence. That to me, I'm fine with. That straight up looks... That's straight up tasting notes right off of the Q Grader's cupping sheet.
citrus oils?
Straight up off of his cupping sheet. I swear. I don't know who the Q grader for Stumptown is. And I'm fine with that. But it's the infusion part that I'm like, CNN, you guys can't be doing this to Stumptown. You can't. Like, come on. Don't mislead the people. I mean, this is just, it just means they're
not making Alaskan Airlines proud or Stumpies.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, with punchier notes, I mean, talk. Who doesn't like some
punchy? Punchy is a good term. Yeah. That's as good as Diego's coffee. It's very punchy.
Oh man. And then this is the last thing I have to touch upon this. Listen, Serge, you're sitting on the plane and the flight attendant is walking by and they say, pretzels or cookie, what do you get?
Biscoff.
No, it's they don't say Biscoff, they say pretzel.
Well, I already know.
No, okay, they say pretzel or cookie, what do you get?
If you want my honest opinion, I'm getting half and half. But
wait, half and half?
Yeah, you've never pulled out a little bit of each?
Oh no. I've definitely pulled out. Listen, okay, I'm not an amateur flyer. I know
have both.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Like, which one? Yes.
No, cookie all day. No, cookie all day. All
and guess
day,
what they do? Day. They pull out a Biscoff.
Always. That's my favorite part.
It always catches me off guard. I'm like, I'm expecting like a chocolate chip cookie.
But I usually look to my neighbor, and if they're napping, I'm like, he'll have one.
He'll
have one too.
Listen, this is what I love. This is just straight props to the Stumptown team. They deserve it. Listen, it says the coffee has been in development for a year. Fire. I mean, are you kidding me? A blend that's been in the works for a year.
Nice.
It's bonkers. And then it says that Alaska even taste tested the blend with creamer and Biscoff cookies to quote unquote ensure the best combination. This is fire, dude. Like, unreal. I'm sold.
Unprecedented.
I'm
gonna grab an Alaska Airlines credit card so I can fly more. It's sold. Like, especially that picture on the article with the Stumpy's little like cup.
Yeah, the branded cups. Yeah. Dude,
it's a hot come on. It's a collector's item.
Sure. Just bring the same cup over and over again on every flight and ask him to refill it.
You know, speaking of, man, I just got a great idea. I think a coffee launched or roasted by Biscoff would go off.
A coffee launched by Biscoff?
Yeah. I think that, who eats a Biscoff cookie without a cup of coffee? Come on.
Yeah.
Or I mean, maybe there's or people tea, like
some
that.
Tea.
Oh,
some
is it tea?
Though.
Okay.
Tea's good too. Okay. But I agree. Listen,
The other big question is, like, would you get a cup of coffee just to dip your Biscoff cookie in? Or are you getting or are you getting the Biscoff cookie to accompany your cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Well, now with Stump...
at the plane, they usually ask for snacks first, and then you get the beverages.
Yeah, well, you get your snack because you know you're going to get a Biscoff cookie because you're getting a coffee. If you're not getting a coffee, are you still getting a Biscoff cookie?
Of course.
Pretzels.
Of course. No, pretzels are too dry. They're too salty.
Dude, pretzels
are
the Sprite?
With the Sprite?
Yeah, dude.
No, you always ask for the sparkling water.
Sure.
Can I get some sparkling water?
Next time you're going to ask him, hey, do you have any liquid death?
Any topo? I don't know if that's the right thing to say on the plane. Okay, folks. Well, you know, that's got to be one of the most exciting things that has happened.
Am I going to be able to get some Stumpies on my way to Coffee Fest in a couple of weeks?
I don't think so. Maybe if you got like an early exclusive.
When is this thing launching?
It's supposed to launch in December 1st.
Ah, shucks.
So
maybe Coffee Fest New York.
The next few things are pretty exciting. I think there's a lot of stuff that has happened in the coffee world, especially on the gear-wise, on the gear end. And I believe World of Coffee just happened in Milan or whatever, that massive, massive event, which makes sense why there was some gear announcements, gear releases. But I feel like there's some really big stuff happening this time as opposed to previous times.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. Not all the time.
Yep.
But I feel like there's some iconic things. And one of the most iconic thing, I think as the Malconi EK got a little level up, a glow up, mm-hmm. like for the first time in a very long time, they actually like made like a V2, like a Mark II.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, they've been slowly improving. They've changed a little bit of the look, the buttons. Like that's all like very basic. But the Malconi EK Omnia was announced, and wow, I'm not much of a gearhead, but I feel the need to spend the money.
It's a beautiful device. I mean, the little glow up really reminds me of when I went from iPhone 5 to iPhone 10. Like visually, it looks very different. The casing's different.
Yeah.
The knob is different.
The knob is really different.
Similar aesthetic, like shape. Overall shape is similar, but like the body is different. It's beautiful. I like it. It looks really nice.
I kind of like the old legs of the EK better than this. Mm. This kind of looks like I don't know. It feels a little too like a fellow.
I like the
legs of the old EK. Like they're like these like paws that are holding this beast up.
Yeah, you never had to clean around those paws in a cafe.
Listen, this isn't gonna be easier. You can't even clean around it now. It's just flat. What do you mean? This is still going to be messy, but that is one of the few things that they've changed. So they've changed out the motor in there, which is going to be both quieter, which is awesome, but also it's going to be a little less messy, a little less staticky. I think that's probably one of the biggest drawbacks of the EK.
Yeah, it's static.
Mm-hmm. It's a mess to take care of. They're designing some custom hoppers for dosing technology. They're also placing in a portafilter holder that you can buy an attachment. But also with the portafilter holder, they're literally taking the tech from their, what do you have? The GBWs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're literally taking that and putting it right into the knob. So it's becoming like an electronic knob almost. And it's all measuring now instead of numbers, it's measuring microns,
I believe so,
or the distance between the burrs.
Yeah, I would need to double check. Yeah. I believe it's
whatever the GBWs have.
But GBWs just have distance. It says millimeters in GBWs. I believe on the photos I saw a different M, like almost a cursive looking M. Wouldn't that be micro?
Could be microns.
Could be.
But I feel like they would have the same thing also, because it looks like almost like the same software.
Maybe I would need to do some digging.
Yeah.
But anyway, that precision and the digital grind size changing, I think it's a game changer. I absolutely love it. I love it on the GBWs. It helps me adjust grind size very accurately without having to look at the, you know, dashes and dials.
For sure.
'Cause those dashes and dials also wear off.
Yeah.
And the screen doesn't unless it breaks.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm always sus still about equipment like this is electronics, and they're not as easy to repair on the fly. Like let's say there's a malfunction in that whole electronic side and you can't use your grinder. That's one thing I've always been afraid of, but I've also used the GBWs for over a year and a half, and been fine.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think I'm so happy that we're getting away from. And I like the analog, the like analog dial feel. I love it from like an aesthetic, from like a tactile experience. But I will say, I mean, how do you explain like 11.3, but in between the 3 and the 4?
Yeah.
What's 11 totally. Point? You know, like all this, like it creates so much like lack of accuracy in your grinding and you're dialing it in that it's just like, It's always weird, but imagine now you can like literally to the millimeter or to the micron, literally dial in a coffee.
Yeah.
And not only that, but now that it's like electronically computed, now my dial is the same the way it is in, you know, and whether that's in, you know, in a different state, in a different city. Now I can literally tell somebody to grind coffee to a specific value, an electronic number, and it's going to be the same everywhere. With this, I mean, you can You can change the what am I saying?
Calibration.
The calibration. Yeah. And now number five grind size is no longer number five elsewhere.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if that means that all of these grinders come pre-calibrated to a digital, because on the GBWs or the, I have the 65s, I think all these numbers are going to get confused, mm-hmm. but on the espresso grinders, you can actually calibrate your zero.
You can.
Yeah. On the digital thing. So I can recalibrate when I do a deep clean.
Yeah.
I touch my burrs, go to zero, and then make sure that my dial, the digital dial, says zero as well. So I can adjust that. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the same here or if it's going to be preset or whatever. So could be. Anyway, I do like that. Also in the video, I love how if you change grind size digitally, the actual knob twists. Turns.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Sick. I thought that was like there's some like digital and like mechanics, mm-hmm. like actual movements happening. I like that a lot. I also feel like there's an interesting progression happening with the EK, because from what I remember, the original Malconing EKs were like grain grinders. Like they weren't or spice grinders, like stuff like that. And then it moved to like coffee grinders to like predominantly you see people like brewing filter coffees or like pour overs, batch brews. Then we saw the evolution of the EK to espresso. Mm-hmm. And that became popular, and now them actually adding a grind by dose, or is it grind by weight, or an espresso portafilter holder, like combining that, kind of leaning into what the market has wanted out of the EK and leaning into that and creating stuff like that. I like. And the LED lights, that's the little power LED light. I know you love the actual button, the on off red green button. Yeah, what do you think about the LED?
I think it's cool. It looks futuristic, looks like a UFO, you know, it's legit. I like those details. I like the lights. I'm all for that. On photos, it's going to look freaking amazing.
Yeah.
But dude, nothing like a big green square and a red square. It's just so iconic. It's so like rugged industrial, and that's lost. Now it's this just like, where is this, a click to start a car or what?
What is this? I wonder if they'll like go completely where you can almost like remote start your grinder now. I don't know.
That's it's like connected necessary. To your.
Yeah. I don't know why. Dude, isn't the X Bloom like you have the little packet and you tap it on top and the NFC reader just automatically dials in your grind size, right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So what if they had something like that on there, dude? Just tap and go, dude.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about the little LED light on the hopper? Not the hopper, the chute.
I mean, I'm happy with all kinds of LED lights. I want the whole thing to just glowing with all kinds of lights. So I'm a fan. I mean, they also have this weird chute attachment in there. Also now that kind of makes it, I guess, easier to clean or reduces, I don't know.
Some static, static, easier to clean. Anything like if you create a grinder that's easy to clean in the cafe setting, it's like you love those paws, the claws, the legs EK. I absolutely despise them because of how cleaning is, especially, you know, how the cafe setup is right now at Narrative. We have all the doses like laid out. Yeah. They're in the little containers. Cleaning that EK area is like one of the worst, because one, it sprays, and two, it's like you're trying to get, you know, a little brush in between the legs, trying to get everything out. So to minimize that cleaning, to make it easier, smoother, dude, pop out that chute, blow it out, compressed air, maybe one of those photographer things, dude. Yes. Killer. The other thing when it comes to cleaning, the kind of swing open casing where you get access to the burrs.
The burr door is unreal. The burr door is
excellent. I hope it works well. I hope it doesn't break on anyone. It looks so cool.
That on photos is going to be pretty tasty to work with. So
I need some. I mean, seriously, Malconing can send us one of the grinders just so we can shoot a B-roll sequence of that door opening up in 120.
Listen, Mel Koenig,
super slow mo.
We already sold like 5 of them on this podcast.
Yeah,
listen, like, send us a free one.
We're not even sponsored. Like, what?
Come on. Anyways, yeah, it's exciting. I'm just torn. Like, would you get this or the EG1 Weber?
I hate to say that. We just talked about a sponsorship, Mel Koenig. This is all flashy and hot, but okay. Well, you have to reframe that question and say, are you talking about in a cafe? What's my context for this grinder?
Dude, just choose one or the other. That's it.
Do I want to see on my counter?
No. What?
At home?
No. For
Well, then describe my kitchen. If we have a modern, nice, Scandinavian design kitchen, hands down, I'm getting the EG1. If we're talking about a tool shed, like at Matt's, and I'm working on my speaker system, Mel Koenig all day.
Alrighty, there it is, folks. Well, we're running out of time, but one last thing that I think we have to cover, because it's just so absurd, in my opinion. Where'd it go? There it is. What the? Oh. All right, La Marzocco.
Yes.
Updated their iconic Strada, which is a staple. It was the first commercial machine I ever worked on.
Yes.
I mean, it was fantastic for what it was.
Yes.
But the La Marzocco Strada is iconic. Mm-hmm. It's that way it's curved and mm-hmm. everything, the shape. Mm-hmm. And so they made some pretty big adjustments to it, pretty big appearance changes. Now it looks very, I don't know, is it always going to be this color? Like, folks, if you're still listening to this podcast, go look it up. Like, mm-hmm. the new Strada looks very different.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to be able to mod those parts? It looks like it's this, like, galvanized steel, or I don't know. It looks very rugged. I like the industrial look, but it's very different. Like, mm-hmm. it's very different.
Yeah.
And so I think they also removed, they also gave it the KB90 step-in things.
I like that. Yeah. Which I mean, cool. I like that just based on appearance, based on like the stats. We've used a KB90 once at Crush the Rush, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever used it after that.
Cue the video.
Dude, that was the good times. Yeah. Oh, man, too funny. There's a photo floating around of Mark and I like tied up like with some kind of tape and a helmet and oat milk. That's all I got to say, folks. And a KB90 malfunction, because we actually, yeah, that was
we
bad.
Lost because of the malfunction. That had nothing to do with us. So.
But I do like the locking portafilter things. Yeah. I think it's fun. I always think about how efficient and quick it is in service, mm-hmm. Because I can get pretty snappy with my like portafilters. Like, I know the grooves already in the PB, so I kind of zone in without hitting the thing around a lot.
Yeah, it just
I just don't
in.
Know how quick it is to like insert it, lock it in. Feels nice. The concept I like. I just not.
Yeah, the
I'm
concept
not sure
I like.
I would want to play around with it. You know, and then auto flush. All of those like fun little mm-hmm. Things. The group actually looks a little bigger. So I'm not. Do you know the details of what they got going on? There's pressure profiling or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. They're really advertising like the mass based profiling, which is just means I think it's a fancy term for scales. I don't. To be honest, I have no idea. Yeah.
Side note: I feel like scales in drip trays are like a must, especially from a cafe setting. I don't understand why you wouldn't get scales in your drip trays.
Yeah.
Just creates a world of a difference. Plus,
isn't it a little more challenging to clean and manage?
No, it's just literally just remove that thing, throw it in the dishwasher to the top. That's it. Because the way your scales sit, they have these pegs that sit inside the drip tray and they kind of float, obviously, so that you can measure the weight. But when you take it apart, drip tray, at least on the PB, comes apart in three pieces, mm-hmm. rinse it off, throw it in the. And that's it. Make sure to cover the scales of the towel so nothing leaks on it, and that's about it.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. So they not only did that, but they also released a Strada X1, which is a single group Strada.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing, yes, it looks beautiful. It has that rugged design. It looks like a tank. And speaking of tanks, it has a massive 3.5 liter steam boiler, which is huge for a one group head. A 1.3 liter coffee boiler. Just excellent. I think this thing is going to rip. It's going to keep up for a one group head, unlike other one group heads.
Yeah.
And so that's really promising. That's looking great. But man, $20,000.
That's a big price tag. That's I think of two things. One, obviously, I'm thinking, who is there? What consumer are they aiming for? What's the demographic that's looking for this? And two, I trust La Marzocco. I trust them as a brand. They do things really well. I've never had a bad experience with any of their machines. So I'll give them that. So when they throw a big sticker price on that, I do have a little bit of sticker shock, but I'm at the same time, because of that trust that developed, I am like, okay, there's got to be a reason. So I probably need to do more research. But then looking at the machine and knowing that it's like just one group setup, it has a big footprint. This is not a small machine. This is not a Linea Mini. This is not a mic. This is a hunk of a machine.
Yeah,
it's big. It's beefy. This is more than just a machine you would just throw on casually on your counter in your kitchen.
Yeah.
So then my question is, okay, if they're creating that and it's not primarily not just for a counter in your kitchen, then there's probably a market, and or the market for these small little cafe pop-ups, maybe like high volume but small space-wise cafe where you need to crank out a ton of drinks per hour, but it's maybe like a window or something of that sort. There's a market expanding for it. And I think that's a fairly accurate observation. Looking at how specialty coffee is becoming more popular, coffee in general, like coffee culture, coffee shops in like living rooms, high volume, but not full blown cafes, is becoming more popular. And these single group setups, that is probably going to be the boss of them all.
Yeah, I think if I were to vote for something, a single group head that would be indestructible, it would be that. But I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those things like, I don't know, like those cafes you walk into and you see like a machine you don't ever see, but every time you walk into, you're like, whoa, that's pretty, that's beautiful, it's the center of attention, but you don't see them often. I literally think that's what the Strada X1 is going to be like. Like $20,000, like you could buy a Linea PB, which is a tank, for less than that, a two group head.
But did you ever go with me to Tampa? Forgot. I'm like, I'm blanking on the area, but there's this kind of like a warehouse area, kind of like a market.
Yeah.
But it's like in this big warehouse industrial field, big ceilings, big windows. Inside that there was a coffee shop, but the bar, it was all bar service, and they just had two Stradas on each corner. There's no like quote unquote POS system. You don't come in and order. You come and sit at the bar as if you're ordering a cocktail, and then they, you know, slip a menu to you, take your order and make your drink to order.
Yeah.
Basically a cocktail bar for coffee. Yeah. And they had those single group. They had two people just running bar, splitting bar. And it worked beautifully. Like for me, that was a major inspiration. It was owned by a musician, Joel, I forget Joel's last name. And the whole concept, I loved how it was executed. That's what I'm thinking of for this Strada X1, is those kind of higher end single like group head service where just a barista and you, and but in that context.
That's a hefty investment for just a barista and you.
I mean, yeah, if like you're still insane. High volume. But you're still probably insane. Crushing. Like if you have two baristas on the floor, each one has their designated machine. And you're
40,000?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, if you're crushing out Dude, I mean,
I don't know.
Each barista crushing out, like, I don't want to over exaggerate, but let's say you're doing 200 drinks an hour. I mean, is that too much? That's a little too much, yeah. That's a little too much for two baristas. Those are maybe inflated numbers. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, I don't know. Dude, maybe I'm nuts,
I think this is a pretty niche machine. I hope I get to see one in person, like in a cafe somewhere. Yeah. But yeah, I know we're running out of time, but just a side note, maybe two, three words from you. La Marzocco is partnering with Melkoning.
Yes.
With this sync app Bluetooth. And listen, I'm very skeptical of apps and Bluetooth, especially in the coffee industry. We suck at software. Software is just not our expertise, unfortunately, but it's getting there. But man, when your grinder starts talking to your espresso machine, and if there's a way that your grinder and your espresso machine can work together to keep extreme, insane consistency, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's game changing almost. Literally the sky's the limit.
Yeah. And again, this goes back to the conversation, like, will AI replace, you know, humans and do their jobs? This is not the case. I feel like the communication between a grinder and espresso machine is going to actually make the barista's job so much more enjoyable. You know, how many times have you experienced the idea when a grinder warms up and your, you know, grind size and starts, you know, floating and you have to like rearrange or your shots are going off? Imagine if two machines were able to sync up so well that they would predict or they would know what's happening in both of the machines and your coffee, and they're able to make those changes.
Yeah.
Relieves the stress away. You still dial in that recipe. You still tell the machine 100%. What you want it to do. It just helps you control and helps you just not stress out about all of those factors that you have to think about, because it's communicating. And then at the end of the day, it gives you so much data. So as a like cafe manager, or as someone that's like looking through numbers, trying to mitigate waste, trying to understand, it's gonna just spell it out for you, and you're able to control that more and more. I think it just empowers the cafe experience quite a bit. Big fan, considering we talked about the EK. You sync up all of these grinders and they're all in sync. It's a beautiful dance. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's a game changer. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. If you made it this far, I think this is going to be an extended episode. Thank you so much for listening. Drop your comments down below on YouTube, on Spotify. You can also rate and add a few comments, a few thoughts on this episode. What do you think? Are you going to start flying Alaska? Because I will. anyways, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, remember, reflect what's good.